Hello, everyone. Welcome again to NPR's Blog Supreme. We're here chatting with Gretchen Parlato. My name is Patrick Jaron Watanonen. We're here with Alex W. Rodriguez. He is in New York with Gretchen. I am in the NPR headquarters in Washington, D.C. We're here to talk about the new album, The Lost and Found. It comes out tomorrow, April 5th, on Oblique Sound Records, and Gretchen will begin a short tour after that. You can also hear all of it right now as part of NPR Music's First Listen series. That's at npr.org/firstlisten. Just threw it the release date tomorrow, so check it out while you still can. Gretchen, welcome again. I'd like to start by asking you a little bit about your band. Every time I've seen you lead a show, it's with your own quartet, your sort of core group. A few musicians rotate in and out, but there's definitely this identity to it. So could you introduce the musicians on this record?
Sure. Thank you for having me, by the way.
Of course.
So the band on the album, I adore these guys. I love them. Taylor Eichste is playing piano and keys. And Derek Hodge is on bass, both acoustic and electric. And Kendrick Scott is on drums. And then we have a couple special guests. Dana Stevens is playing tenor saxophone on a couple tracks. And Alan Hampton, who's normally playing bass with me, he's featured as a singer and guitarist and a songwriter on the album.
Yeah.
And I love them.
I presume Alan will be touring with you pretty shortly, too.
He will, yep.
How'd you meet these folks? I mean, I know you must have known some of them just playing through the scene, but was there any special stories about...
Let's see. Taylor and I met in Los Angeles when I was in the Thelonious Monk Institute that was on the campus of USC, and I think he was at USC for a little while. So I kind of knew his name in among LA jazz scene, you know, people, and I remember him kind of just as this entity of Taylor Eichste, and then we didn't really get to know each other closely until we were both living in New York, you know, years later. And he's just like a brother to me now.
He wrote at least one of the tunes on the album.
Yeah, he wrote Without a Sound. He wrote it, you know, specifically for me to sing. So I wrote some words, and it's just, he's brilliant. And Derek, let me think. I think I met Derek through his playing with Terrence Blanchard. I believe I met him the first, you know, few months that I was in New York, and was, you know, as everyone else, just blown away by his playing. And, you know, he's just such a warm person, very
totally
generous and humble and funny.
he's a hilarious gentleman. You know, you mentioned he plays both acoustic and electric, and, you know, he's known as this sort of very good straight-ahead jazz player,
yeah.
And he plays in all these other sorts of, I don't know, modern R&B sorts of arrangements. Really creative stuff.
Yeah, he could do anything, you know, and he has a whole, you know, film scoring and classical playing as well. I mean, he's really, really versatile. And Kendrick, I met Kendrick when I first moved to New York. When I moved from Los Angeles, I probably knew, you know, like 10 people. But I just, you know, packed my bags and moved and just kind of, you know, fell into the scene. So Kendrick was one of the first people that I met just through other jazz musicians kind of, you know, in the scene. And
sure.
Yeah, again, like just a brilliant person and player and funny. Like all these, and I didn't mention how funny Taylor is. All of these guys, they just make me laugh all the time, which is a good thing.
let's hear a track, actually, featuring Taylor, Derek, Kendrick. This one is the original called How We Love. We'll play it right now. And that's the tune How We Love from Gretchen Parlato's The Lost and Found. Gretchen, I wanted to ask you, you seem like you're using your voice as an instrument. You know, I was playing this track for somebody else, and she said that, you know, she really liked how you used your voice almost as another band member. Could you talk about how you sort of came up with this sort of idea? I mean, you don't really improvise a lot with it, as in like scat singing in the traditional way, but there's a lot there.
Well, cool. Thank you. I think, you know, I've just, I'm, you know, treading down this path that was already cleared for me by other singers. You know, I don't think I'm doing anything necessarily new. I came up, you know, being very inspired by other singers like, you know, Bobby McFerrin, for example, you know, who just, that's probably the definition of a singer using their voice as an instrument.
Absolutely.
So when you hear that, you know, in elementary school, it's like, oh, okay, cool. Like, I want to do that, you know, or I didn't know that you could do that, kind of an idea. And not to say that I can do what Bobby McFerrin does or that anyone can touch what he's, you know, capable of doing, but just to be inspired by that really early on, I think that that plays a big role, big part in, you know, what you realize, you know, you're capable of as an artist.
Sure. I just wanted to highlight one of the great comments that we got in the chat room. Somebody said that Kendrick Scott is so in the pocket that he's collecting lint.
That's good.
I thought
he
that was pretty good.
He does have a nice collection of lint. Yes. Oh, he's that's a good one. I hope he's listening to that. Yeah, I should mention Kendrick. He, the song you just played, How We Love, he arranged that. It was a very, very basic, you know, piece when I brought it to rehearsal. So it's something that I wrote myself, but then he, you know, took it to another level with his arrangement. So we got to give him credit for that. And I agree. What he does is, it's definitely like it just pushes everybody, you know, to another place. And he just, I think also just the sound of his drums is so warm. And I love, you know, what we were able to capture in the studio. You know, his drum sound is just stupid.
Definitely. We actually had a question about, you know, how you collaborate with other musicians. Alex, go to you for this. You're watching the chat room pretty closely.
Yeah, well, a lot of people are asking about your collaborations, especially with Robert Glasper.
Mm-hmm.
It's been something that's definitely excited a lot of people in the chat, and I think everyone's kind of curious how that came together and what the future holds for that musical relationship.
Yeah, well, you know, Robert is another brilliant mind, you know. I think we met when I moved to New York. Again, it just being in the scene of musicians in New York, you just end up, you know, meeting people and kind of creating or being, you know, falling into this community that's very supportive. So he was one of those people, and I think, you know, just hearing him and hearing what he does, I always was influenced by it and loved it, and, you know, just said, can we get together and work on some music? And we ended up, you know, arranging some songs together, writing. We arranged Blue and Green, actually, a long time ago. I heard, like, the, you know, a bass line and the meter, and then he filled in the harmony, because I can't hear that stuff. I can't, especially the level that he plays. I know when it's good, but I can't play it myself. So, you know, it was kind of like collaborative effort with a lot of material or stuff that we wrote, you know, from the, like, in the song In a Dream, that was, he wrote the music, I wrote the words. And then we discovered that, you know, we have a love for, like, music from the 80s and 90s. So we, you know, I brought in, I thought, I want to do something with Week, with SWV's Week, and he laughed and was like, you know, after he realized that I was serious, you know, we figured something out. So it's just, you know, it started just by, you know, this community of people, and you get together and you join forces. You know, I think that's a beautiful thing about living in New York.
Rob is very good at laughing. Yeah, why don't we hear that, a little bit of that, and we'll switch up the order that we had planned around and go to a little bit of that arrangement, the Robert Glasper arrangement of Blue and Green, the great jazz classic, of course, and we'll go to it. Fade that one down a little bit. Whose lyrics are these, Gretchen?
Those are by a singer named Meredith D'Ambrosio. And I think they are exquisite.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I learned them from Tierney Sutton. She sings those lyrics on her album. So that's how I first heard them.
But it's a much different arrangement. It's a very, you know, it's in this weird time that I can't figure out myself. Not that I'm much of a musician, but
It's seven. It's like a big seven and then six for a little bit. And then
it's happening though. It's definitely happening.
Thank you.
We have a question from the I guess the blog post. Somebody asked, do you deliberately avoid songs from the classic American songbook? And I think this is probably the best known tune on the record, you know, from at least the jazz repertoire.
I don't deliberately avoid that. No, not at all. I think, you know, I sing songs that that speak to me in some way that I can connect with. And that could be, the thing is, it's like what I do now, you know, is very specific. But as a jazz singer, you know, I came up studying and singing all the classic material and definitely, you know, scatting and singing much more traditionally. So that's in there somewhere. And at some point that will come out. You know, there's a lot of incredible material there, so I definitely appreciate it, and you know, nothing is avoided at all. It's just a matter of when it's appropriate and when it's the right time.
For sure. Let's go to another thing. We talked about Alan Hampton earlier today, and wanted to play this collaboration that you did with him on for this album. I think it sounds kind of unlike anything else on the record, but it definitely fits. This is the tune called Still.
Even if you say goodbye, I still love. Even if a dream may die, I still love. Even when my life is through, I still love. No matter what you say or do, I still love. Even when things fall apart. comes back again. I still love.
The song Still, duet with Alan Hampton and the rest of the band, the Gretchen Parlato Band, off the new record The Lost and Found. Comes out tomorrow and is available for a first listen at NPR right now. We're chatting with Gretchen Parlato. My name is Patrick Jaron Watanonen, in the studio with Alex Rodriguez, well, at least connected over the digital ether. Gretchen, Alan Hampton, yeah, we've mentioned him before. He's your touring bassist and he's also the singer-songwriter. People are wondering about how this particular song came together.
Alan wrote this, actually, I believe his idea was that this would be a song for Lionel Luecke and me to sing, as, you know, together. He could kind of, I think it was inspired by, you know, the duets that we would sing, and maybe specifically like the song, if you guys know the song that Lionel wrote called Novignon that we sing
sure.
a lot. It was kind of one of those, you know, pieces. So this was actually, it was written quite a number of years ago, and I think there, you know, Alan brought it to me, and it was just instrumental, and there was also a bridge, there was a whole other section, and it was me, I was the one that was just like, you know what, I think we should just keep it as, you know, as a, just kind of an AABA form, and it's just beautifully, you know, deceptively simple, because it has this kind of, you know, flowing mantra kind of vibe about it, but it is, it's not, it's like in 11, and it's, you know, got this interesting harmony, and that's just the brilliance of Alan, and then I just thought, well, what kind of lyrics could I write that would complement, you know, this mood that he already created, and I just thought, you know, it's really about something, what is life all about, what does it always kind of boil down to, and that's love. So I wrote, you know, lyrics for the song, and then I think not until this album, this version that you just heard, that's kind of has become the definitive version, and then now that we're going to perform live, we'll have to try to recreate that, but it's not a song that we have, you know, performed a lot, but definitely Alan will, you know, my idea is he'll get his guitar out and come up to the mic, and we'll, you know, have a little duet moment with that.
Well, expect to hear that on tour if Gretchen is coming to your city. Gretchen, you do a lot of duets, or you've recorded a number of duets, really. You mentioned Lionel Luecke, the great guitar player and sort of vocalist. I don't quite know how do you describe what he does, other than it's really interesting. And also with Esperanza Spalding, you were featured on her latest recording. And Esperanza's, you know, now the best new artist of the Grammy Awards, and you recorded this duet with her. How do you guys come up with that tune?
That was another collective effort. I have a memory of, you know, going over to her house when she lived in New Jersey, and we were just going to rehearse some stuff, and she had an idea of doing that Jobim song, If You Never Come to Me, and she had her part already. She, you know, played that bass line and sang, you know, sang that theme, and then I just made up my part. So it was really, and, you know, there's just an in-the-moment kind of improvised and then developed arrangement of that song, which is just an exquisite song.
Yeah, there's a lot of spontaneity in that, and it also shows off that, you know, I know you like Brazilian music a lot. Let's actually go to a little musical interlude and hear what you do with a song called Alô, Alô.
Alô, alô, sou eu. Morrendo de saudade de você. Quero dizer, quero dizer que não posso mais sofrer. Se eu errei, fui castigado. Assina que não pode ser. Longe de você, abandonado. Alô, 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 sou eu. Morrendo de saudade de você. Quero dizer, quero dizer que não posso mais sofrer. Se eu errei, fui castigado. Assina
du sein. Longe de você, na palma do mundo. Pelas ruas da cidade, destino de saudade, que eu no peito suportou. Agora vendo a sua voz, eu sento em campanas da tua conversão. Alô, 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 sou eu. Morrendo de saudade de você. Quero dizer, quero dizer que eu não posso mais sofrer. Se eu amei, fui castigado. Assim é que não pode ser. Longe de você, abandonado. Longe de você, abandonado. Longe de você, abandonado. Longe de você, abandonado. Longe de você, abandonado.
That's the song "Alo Alo," performed by Gretchen Parlato on "The Lost and Found." Gretchen, that's such a happy song, but so sad.
So sad, isn't that how life is, right?
Yeah. Could you possibly explain the lyrics?
Yeah, it's something like it is sad, but I'm laughing because it's so like dramatic and you know, poetic, but like very dramatic. It's some guy who's like, hello, it's me, and you know, I like the bridge is like, it's been 3 days and I haven't heard from you. Like, what? And it's like, my life is nothing without you. I feel so abandoned. So it's just kind of this overly dramatic guy where you're like, really? 3 days? Take it easy, guy. No, but it's just a charming song that, you know, originally, the original version is very, you know, old school, like samba. And I just, you know, found these percussion instruments that I know how they have many different names. The name that I learned was Kijipu. They're from Ghana. And I know there's many other names that I've seen, but they're these small little gourds filled with seeds, and they have a string attached, and you hold one. There's two balls with the string attached. You hold one in your hand, and then the other ball wraps around your hand to create this kind of three against four thing. So I just started playing those and figuring out how the melody could work, and that's how it changed from being in, you know, four to three, and, you know, and then I just was thinking, oh, it would be cool to just keep adding, you know, some more percussion and just do this one on my own. So, yeah.
So this one, just to clarify, that's only you. You're the only person on that track,
yeah.
Sort of multi-tracking it in the studio.
Yeah.
How do you
find, you know, I didn't have all the, you know, normal percussion there, so it's like I was playing a mug with a pen. And like, so, you know, we just kind of, I found what was there that would, you know, make the right sound.
I was going to say, you know, that there's that Brazilian percussion instrument that, you know, sounds like you rub something and it makes that sort of squeaking noise. It sounds like you're doing that with your mouth.
Right. Yeah, there's that. And it's very Brazilian, you know. I know there's Brazilian musician friends of mine that, you know, they'll play like a matchbook as a percussion instrument. So it's very common to just find, you know, these household items and turn them into an instrument, probably in any culture.
For sure. You do a number of different Brazilian songs, at least in your repertoire, you know, Dora Lise on the last album, Ela e Carioca. It's a, you know, it's an obsession that a lot of people have, especially singers, it seems. How did you get into it, and what kind of study have you put into Brazilian music?
I mean, it was early. It was maybe, you know, 13 years old that I always tell this story, but I was like, you know, flipping through my mom's vinyl collection, and I came across Getz Gilberto album, the Stan Getz and João Gilberto, Antonio Carlos Jobim, and it's, you know, classic bossa nova. The cover itself, without even hearing music, I was struck by the cover. It's, you know, kind of abstract 60s, like bright orange and yellow kind of painting. And so I put that on, and just immediately, you know, something happened in my, you know, body, just like the reaction to that music just being so beautiful and so profound and so tangible, but, you know, again, this kind of deceptively simple, deceptive simplicity going on. And even for me, at 13, I was completely moved by the sound of that music, but specifically João Gilberto's voice. Just realizing that it's so effective to be so understated and create this mood, and again, it was similar to how when I would hear Bobby McFerrin really early, there's that thought in my head, like, oh wow, like you can do that, that's allowed, and that it's good, and that it's effective, and it's moving. So it just kind of stemmed from there. And then I happened to have Nicolau Vergueiro is one of my he's a brilliant artist, and he's one of my best friends. And his father, Guilherme Vergueiro, is a pianist who kind of took me under his wing really early. And, when I was living in L.A., just, exposed me to a lot of Brazilian music, and I started to sing with Guilherme, and it just grew from there. Then when I went to UCLA and studied ethnomusicology, there was, some classes that I took, performance classes, lecture classes about Brazilian music. I studied the language a little bit, and just kind of grew from just that classic bossa nova sound.
Great. I understand Alex is going to be pursuing a degree in ethnomusicology soon. He has a few questions from the chat room.
Yeah, indeed, actually. UCLA is on the list, as a matter of fact. But, Jay Shelton had a comment. He wanted to know how you chose Seer Sound, how you got connected with them. He said they did a really great job on that album.
Seer Sound is an incredible studio. I just knew of it from, it's one of the top places to go in New York. So it was, on the list of places to record. I think before I had recorded my album, I'd done some other work with other artists, and just love what they are able to capture. And and since then, I think everyone in the band too, I know everybody was like, wow, like they really know how to record the purity, and the natural sound of the instrument.
And David Rishban asks, any favorite Brazilian singers? Top of your list?
Well, João Gilberto is like the king of all. I love Caetano Veloso, Elis Regina, of course. I love Rosa Passos. She does something. She's exquisite. I keep using the same words, but I really mean them. Exquisite, beautiful, incredible. There's just too many good people that are amazing and exquisite in this world.
All right, right, right. I'm told we're getting a special caller on the line. I'm not sure how this person got our number, but apparently we have somebody who is calling in to submit a few questions. We have a Helen McKenzie on the line.
Hi, this is Helen McKenzie. This is Patrick.
Hello, Helen.
Patrick.
Hi. What do you think of Gretchen's music?
I have no idea who that is. I don't even know why I'm here.
Yeah?
I thought you wanted to date me.
Well, unfortunately, that's not why we're here. We're here to talk about the music of a singer named Gretchen Parlato.
I was on a show with Lindsay, the Listening Lab.
Right.
Not too long ago when I was, this music, this girl, they were playing this girl. I don't know. I don't think she's got it at all. She doesn't have what it takes. Can't hear a thing.
Why do you feel that way?
It's just not, loud enough. You have to express yourself when you sing.
Well, I trust you have your own opinion, but a lot of people might say, that she's she has a soft voice for a reason, because she's, choosing to use that voice in that way.
Well, I would choose differently if I were her.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for your comment, Helen.
Yeah. Thank you, Patrick.
All right. Let's go to another song. Sorry about that, everyone. We're going to a song called All That I Can Say. It's a cover that some of you may recognize.
Loving you was wonderful, something like a miracle.
And we're going to fade that down just because we're running out of time here. Gretchen, as you know, or everyone, as you know, that's the song All I Can Say, as famously sung by Mary J. Blige and written by Lauryn Hill. Gretchen, I'm sorry for that interruption earlier.
Yeah.
Maybe you, I'd like to give you a chance to respond to what Helen McKenzie had to say.
You know, everyone's entitled to their opinion, you know. You know, what can I say, really? She's allowed. And maybe I'll meet her one day. Maybe we can talk.
Mm, right. We look forward to that meeting. Perhaps we'll set that up.
Yeah.
This song is, you know, very, you know, it's a sort of R&B classic. And, you know, you're known for wanting to tap that repertoire, you know, like, say, music of a black origin from 1985 to 2000. You've recorded a number of, you know, these original rearrangements of these songs. How do you, how do you listen to music of your time, and how do you approach it in a jazz context?
I think it's all the songs that I've chosen to, you know, rearrange, reharmonize. Those, all of those are some part of my, you know, upbringing. Like, you know, when we did Week, that was like the hit in high school, so it has some kind of like nostalgia, some kind of memory that's triggered, and the same with All That I Can Say. It was just one of those songs that I loved. So you know, it's thinking of like, what are the songs that make up our, you know, soundtrack of our lives, or like the new standards, and approaching them the same way that I would a standard, you know, in that it's just a song. There is a definitive version, but what can we do to honor that version, but then, you know, do something new with it?
Sure. We're running out of time, but we can take one or two more questions. Alex, what do we have?
Yeah, Melodies of Me asks, who has been effusive with her praise all hour, asks if Mary J. or Lauryn has reached out to you about the cover, if they've said that they like it, because she definitely does.
Oh, wow. Thank you. No, I haven't heard. I mean, that would be incredible if they did, you know. I haven't heard from, you know, SWV either, but we did hear from the writer of the song, Brian Alexander Morgan, of Week, I mean, and he was a fan. He liked it. So, you know, it'd be great to know what they think. I don't know, man. I don't know if they'll like it or not.
I don't know. Lauryn Hill's back on the scene these days, too.
Yeah, you know, who knows?
All right. We are running into our last minute here, so we'll say our goodbyes real briefly. Once again, all the Lost and Found, the new album from Gretchen Parlato, is coming out tomorrow. That's April 5th. On Oblique Sound Records, and you can preview it right now and through tomorrow at NPR's First Listen series, npr.org/firstlisten. My name is Patrick Jaron Watson. I'm here with a blog supreme of NPR Music, with Alex W. Rodriguez, our guest from WBGO, and of course Gretchen Parlato. Gretchen, thank you so much for being here today.
It's a pleasure. Thank you for having me.